Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
Smiling, I love a good smile. You know, I'd grown up, my mum told me, Danny, you need to stop being moody. That's when I was young. You need to stop being moody. I said, why, mum? She said, because when you're always frowning, it's only going to make you more ugly. So then I started smiling. But, you know, my mum's such a blessing in my life, and you'll begin to understand why that is. But above all things, you know, God has really, really touched my life significantly over the years. I want to first off show you a picture of a crash that had taken place on the 8th of September. I pretty much should have been gone. This is the 8th of September, which was a Sunday, just leaving church. And as I drove out of church, I turned left to go onto Mancunian Way, which is a bridge. And a car had just pulled out in front of me and took me out clean. I was supposed to have, I wasn't really supposed to see 26 this year. That's a crash you would probably walk past and think the person's either on life support machine or the person's fatal. But you know what? God saved me. God saved me. I remember getting out of the car and I just looked up to the skies. You know, everything was kind of daunting and there was loads of noises that were happening around me. And I got out of the car and the lady got out of the car and she was sort of crawling on the floor. So I walked up to her and I said, "You okay?" And then she said, "Yeah." Nobody was injured. Nobody even got a scratch. A scratch. After an incident like that. And her car was a smart car. So imagine that, right? Luckily, it hit my passenger side more so as opposed to the driver's side where I was sat. And in her car as well, it hit her passenger side. God is good. God is good. Now I've seen 26. Great, right? I just want to, first of all, there's three reasons for why I'm here today. I like to work the stage, so I will be walking around. There's three reasons why I'm here today. And the first reason is, basically, I have a word for you. A word that God has instilled within me to preach to his people. The second reason I'm here is to talk a little bit about my journey and going through life, going through the difficulties, the hard times, the overcoming of adversity, and getting to the stage where I'm at now. And the third reason is to encourage you in this congregation of getting involved in early intervention and just what God is going to do in your lives and in the lives of the young people that you encounter throughout the time you do early intervention. I just want to first off starting by saying we at TLG, myself and the TLG team, are highly, highly, highly passionate about young people and the steps that they take in life. Because guess what? We're building upon a new generation right now. Amen. We're building upon a new generation. And it's easy for us to sort of look away and say, you know, we've done our bit. It's easy for that to take place. It's easy for us to say, these are the young people. Now they're going to have to step up. They're going to have to sort of take hold of what life is presenting itself to them, because we've done. But that's not the case, and it shouldn't be the case. See, we're here to support our young people, build them up, encourage them. We're here to operate in Christ-like image, to help others, just as God has helped us. Amen. If God said, my job is done when I created you people, that's it, go off and do your own thing, where would we be now? We'd be back in the Old Testament. Carnage. But God didn't do that, did he? He said, hold my hands and I'll walk you all the way through life. Through the journeys of life. Through the darkest and deepest realms. And despite what the devil tries to put in front of us, we still keep pushing forward. And I want our young generation to hear this. I want some of you youth that are here today to listen to this. I'm 26 years old, and I'm not old, but I've got a real sense of fire in my belly.
Amen.
I want us first off to pray just before we go into the word this morning, because I believe God is just telling us to pray into this message. Dear Father, Lord, we just thank you for just being gathered here this morning to listen to your word, to hear what you have got to tell us, Father. I thank you for the chance and the opportunity granted, Lord, to be able to speak to your people. I thank you for your people being present here to listen to the word and to be able to take it into whatever communities they're from and to be able to instill something greater than what life can give us into the hearts of young people. Stir it up within our hearts, within our bodies, Lord Jesus Christ. Revive us. Grant us a real sense of energy that allows us to see more than what we've ever seen before.
Yes, God.
Beyond the limitations of what life has purposed for us.
Yes, God.
May we be an example of what Christ has come down to earth for us. May we be an example to the young generation now that are looking to us as role models. May we build upon your word, Father, Lord. May we stand strong in the realms of evil, Father, Lord, and still look forward and think, God, you are beside us. God, you are in front of us. God, you are behind us. Father, Lord, help us to be like David as he went onto that battlefield to face Goliath. With a warrior's heart, with braveness to be able to conquer evil at its highest heights. We thank you, Lord, for the message, Lord Jesus Christ, that we're about to speak on today. We thank you for everything that you were doing in the lives of this congregation. As they walk out of this building today, Lord, may you be with them.
Yes, Lord.
In their journeys through life, in their workplaces, in their nurseries, in their schools. Whatever division they're at, Lord Jesus Christ, may you be with them, anointing them. May your Holy Spirit descend upon this place today, Lord. May your presence just fill this atmosphere in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are currently doing in our lives. The best is yet to come. Amen. Amen. If we can read from the first scripture, which is Psalms 107, verses 1 to 16. If we can have that up on the PowerPoint. I'll start the read. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Not for the meantime, not for a short period, forever, for eternity. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west and north and south. Some wandered into the desert wasteland, finding no way to the city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty and their lives embedded away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. His unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Because they rebelled against God's command and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their darkness and their distress. They cried out to the Lord. We cried out to the Lord. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. I want to ask you the question, what comes to mind when you think of chains? Bondage, heaviness, the weight, the limitation. Chains is something that us as human beings aren't supposed to be held and bound by. You see, it's funny when, you know, a police handcuffs an individual and takes them away. That's to limit them from doing anything, to limit them from making any mistakes. But how do you feel when you're held by something like that? When you can't make movement, where there's no flexibility. Sometimes you can't even run because if you trip, you've got no way of holding yourself up. Chains is something that us as human beings aren't supposed to be bound by. But yet we was. If I say the word chains to you, it's a sense of restriction. You're contained. You're held down. You're held back. When we speak in spiritual terms, chains is the same thing. Yeah. Spiritual terms, physical and spiritual, still chains. Still held by the devil, by the enemy. You might not think this, but I stand here today as a young person who was chained, who was broken, who was limited in life. You see, I'd grown up in a household full of domestic abuse and neglect, violence. My father would regularly abuse me, my brothers, my sisters, siblings, basically, and my mother. And I used to watch this every time happen. And I'd experience it. You see, my father had issues from his childhood that he didn't deal with. He didn't break the cycle. He had issues that he was still continuing to let harm him. And we was at the receiving end of that. My father was a pastor of his own congregation. My dad was a pastor of his own congregation. My father would stand where I am standing, and I would be sitting at the front looking at him and thinking to myself, you're preaching to the church, but yet this is what's taking place in your own household. This left me confused, wondering, does God really exist? How can God exist if this is how my father treats his family? How can God truly exist when my father shows significant neglect to his kids? So this confusion led to frustration. I went to school. I kicked off. I got into loads of fights. I became angry. I became bitter towards life itself. And I couldn't cope in school environments. Just getting excluded time after time. Danny, we can't cope with you. And oftentimes I would think to myself, well, what's the point of me being in school? Because every time I come to school, I just keep getting excluded. So all the anger and frustration that I had to distribute that. And unfortunately, people at the receiving end of that, people that didn't deserve it. How can someone as young as the age of, because exclusion started from primary school, How could somebody at that particular age focus on the education at hand, on his academics, when all he's thinking about is what's taking place at home? When all he's thinking about is somebody in my household dead? Am I going to walk into my mum laid out flat on the floor? How could a young person think about those things when home is a detrimental environment, when it's hostile? The fear at times of me walking home, I remember I would leave all my friends, and as I'm walking home, the closer I'm getting to the house, my heart starts to beat. I hold the door, open the door, knowing exactly what I'm expecting to take place. So I open the door, and my father's there, sat in the living room, waiting for me. Is that something a young person should experience? And I almost said, I'm ready. And then he would then start to beat me up. And then the same thing over and over again. This didn't happen for days. It didn't happen for weeks. It didn't happen for months. This happened for years. Years. My dad had a real way of instilling fear into us as children. And oftentimes I would try and take the blame from my brothers and sisters if they did something wrong. Know that it was me. Leave them alone. Now I'd have to face the consequence. Times when I would get up in 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd sit at the top of the stairs, and I'm just listening out, hearing my mum and my dad arguing, listening out for when my mum screams. Listening out for that, because I knew it was going to come. It was just a case of when. And I would take a step to try and run downstairs to save the day, but unfortunately, I wasn't of that stature, I wasn't of that build, I wasn't of that height, I wasn't of anything. I felt, I can't do anything. I felt weak, helpless. Had nothing to me. So I'd just sit there again listening to it. Things getting smashed around. I witnessed some horrible things growing up in that house. Some horrible things. Which no child should ever have to go through. And in school, we see that there's a lot of frustration from the young people that we have come in, and a lot of anger issues and a lot of messing around. And we think to ourselves, what's up with this naughty child? Naughty child. But little did we know that there's something taking place in their environment at home. And they're just looking for a coping mechanism. Sometimes I had to entertain the classroom. I'd have to be this class clown because that was a way of me helping myself, getting rid of all the torment that was taking place in my mind. But it always came back to the forefront. You're there trying to push it back. And then you run, hoping it doesn't catch up to you. And all of a sudden, it's right in front of you again. What life is that for a young person to go through? I was only supposed to be this young boy who wakes up in the morning, enjoys his day, goes to school, enjoys education, leaves school, play out with friends, maybe do a bit of homework, go back home again, sleep like a little baby, and then get back up and do the same thing again. But I was a different child. I was a child carrying torment, frustration, anger, fear. There was no sense of belonging anymore, no comfort. Home was a broken place. School was a broken place. All I had to look to was the streets, because that's what I then started to call family. The people on the streets. People on the streets that would accept me as theirs. I got involved in selling drugs because these people spoke great things into my life. You'd be good for this, Danny. That was the start of the grooming process. From becoming a victim to a perpetrator. Because that's all I had as a family. My mum's at home, she's crying, sobbing her eyes out. My brother's doing whatever he's doing. My sister's out with her friends drinking. School don't want me anymore. And they don't really want to understand what's going on. I didn't help them understand what's going on. Because as a child, sometimes we have this sense of, I will take it on my own. As a child, we have that sense of, you don't worry about me, I'm good. I'll just ride this. You don't worry about me, I'm okay. I'm independent. But we're only young people. We're only young people. And then I took this on throughout my whole entire teenage years, going from one place to another, going to different cities, getting involved with real-time drug dealers, gangsters, people that were no good for my life. I remember the day I had a gun put to my head. I thought that was the end of my life. I thought that's it. But each situation that I kept encountering, I didn't know them, but God was doing something. You see, God was throwing little pebbles in certain tracks for me to follow. So when I'm getting through one thing and I'm scratching my head thinking, how did I manage to get through that? Then I'd enter the next encounter. Then I'd do the same again and the same again. But this is me building towards something. This is God now starting to try and open that viewpoint for me to see exactly what he's been doing in my life. Going through this process of life. Think about the young people today and the torments and everything that they have to face in life. Think about that. For many children in our country today, they're struggling. Struggling with the fact they can't cope in certain environments. They can't learn a certain way. Struggling with the fact that the parents are divorced. I never wanted to see divorce happen in my household. No, no one wants to see that. The moment my parents had split up as well, I was angry with my mum. First of all, I was frustrated with the fact that how would you still be with a man that is taking you through this process? But I came to realize, you know, mothers, a mother just wants a family to be a family. And all she wanted was for one day, for my father to have a real encounter with God and realize what he was doing wasn't right. That's all she wanted. But I was angry with her. I was frustrated. I said, you know, the reason why I've turned out the way I've turned out. I was bitter towards my mum. My father's not in the picture anymore. It was at the age of 13 when my father and my mother had divorced. My father had gone to London, never came back. And this was a sad element as well. And I was just looking for a male role model. I just wanted someone to try and help me out. But I wouldn't say it, because I'm a child. I didn't want to feel weak. See, as young people don't want to feel weak. The moment they start to confide in you, the moment to try to express themselves makes them feel a certain way. They don't want to feel that way. They want to feel strong, like I can handle this. But I'm here to tell you, youth today, you don't have to be that way. No way. Amen. God's got you. We've got you. Amen. If you just open up your heart. It talked of how they cried out to God. Why are we not doing the same? Cry out to the Holy Father. Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Come on. Jesus. Yes, I just believe in God, in his unfailing love. His unfailing love. Love is something that we take for granted. We do. Love is something that we perceive differently to how it should be perceived. Love is something that is the most powerful element of what keeps us united, keeps us together as a congregation, as a church, and as a family. We are family. Love does that. The love of God inserted within us today has gathered us here this morning in this church building to listen to what God has got for us. If we can just open our ears and our eyes to that, if we can just do that, you'll see the amazing work that God starts to do within our lives. I just want to look at four statistics at the moment of what we find with a lot of the struggling young children. It should come up on the PowerPoint. 4.1 million children are living in relative poverty in the UK. A significant number. Not talking thousands, millions. Various different areas of deprivation. Young people held by bondage. No way out. No hope. No future. They cannot see beyond what's right in front of them. Maybe they've followed the parents and seen what the parents have done and thought, well, if this is where my parents are at, I can't go any further. Held down. Held down so that they can't reach the surface. Held down so they can't understand who they are. Where is confidence supposed to come from when we find that young people are in this position of life? Where is hope supposed to come from when we find our young people in this position? What are we doing as individuals today? Sometimes it's good for us to bring some of these things to the forefront, because sometimes we forget, and sometimes we do need a refresher. We do. We need God to stir up a fire in us to allow us to feel exactly what he's calling us to do. Amen. The communities that you walk around in, the communities that you work in, are you watching what's taking place around you? As beautiful as this place is, as beautiful as this city or this town or this whatever village is, as beautiful as it is, we still have real deprivation. We still have young people looking for things to do. Because first off, it starts with getting excluded from school. Or not wanting to be at school. Then they take it home. Then they play on the games. And then games get boring. Then they want to go out with friends. Then they want to hang out with friends. But it's getting boring just hanging out, right? So how about we just smash a few windows? Maybe that might add a little bit of a fun factor. And then that build up. Okay, this is getting boring now. How about we start selling drugs? Because we need to make money, because we're living in poverty, because there is nothing out there, because we don't see the opportunity. And then this is how now gangs are formed. And then there's real stabbing. We see about when we hear about it on the news today, gang violence. It all started with that exclusion or just not wanting to be in a school environment anymore, because we didn't want to think any more than what we have in the past. We didn't want to be in that surrounding where our main concerns was taking place in at home. Watch your kids. What are your kids doing today? What are you feeding into them? Have you got any words of affirmation for them? Have you told them that they're beautiful? Have you told them God's love for them? God's love. We can break chains.
Yes, we can.
We can break chains.
Yes, we can.
We just need God in the center of it.
Yeah.
Without God, I wouldn't be where I am today. Without God, I'd probably be 6 foot under. I'll be spending 30 years, 80 years in prison. Without God. Without God, we're nobody. Because we're built on that foundation.
Yes.
We're built on that foundation, right?
Yeah.
And the moment that foundation is stripped away from us, what are we left with? If we go on to the next one. Parents from low-income families have skipped a meal to feed their children in school holidays. One in three parents. It's not just the young people that are struggling, it's the parents that are struggling. You see how it all intertwines? You see how it all happens? If a parent's now skipping a meal for herself, she might not even have, or he might not have enough efficiency going on to be able to operate as effectively as they can, both in work, both at home. And that might cause a bit of frustration for the parents, and they might be a little bit nasty to the kids, even though they don't mean to be. I respect parents a lot, especially ones that stay by the kids. Because even though it's tough, you've got God in your life. Amen. And that build of still God taking you forward is what's caused you to stick by your kids and stick by your family to today. My only hope is that one day my father does have an encounter with God, a real encounter with God. Amen. I've not seen my father since 2008. It's a long time. Apparently he's in Kent. Does anyone know Kent? Do some research for me, please. If we go on to the next one. 1 in 10 children in the UK feel unable to cope with school on a daily basis. I'm sure there's probably a few young people here today that are struggling to cope in school at times. Maybe there's somebody that you might not like in school. Maybe there's certain lessons that you can't cope with that you just don't understand. It's okay not to understand work. What are you concerned about? What's taking place at home? Why don't you speak to your parents? Let's strip away that kind of thing as young people that we feel we need to have. Courageous type of attitude, but not in the best way. Let's strip that away. Let's confide in each other. The moment you speak is a moment change happens. The moment we cry out to God is a moment change happens. We can be stubborn individuals as well as adults. Yeah. If we don't call out to God, that's like a child not calling out to us. We always say to our young people, why are you not speaking to me? But then the Heavenly Father, we're not speaking to him.
That's good.
The next one. 2/3 of children say they worry all the time. 2/3. I worried every day. Every day. In fact, I thought it'd be at the end of my life. I didn't know where life was leading to. I never expected to be here this Sunday. Looking back from them years of childhood. Never expected that. You know, I was this young person who, at the age of around 7, I wanted to be a politician. I wanted to speak for the people. I wanted to instill a bit of hope into the lives of every individual in this world, whether it was young people, whether it were older people. But circumstance took place, and that threw me off task. But when God entered me, when God revived my soul again, I started to dream again. We say as part of the organisation that I'm currently working, operating at the moment, is that every young person once had a dream. It's our vision to revive that dream.
Amen.
Each and every one of our visions.
Amen.
To revive that dream. Let's build them up again. Let's allow them to think. Let's allow them to see beyond the realms of what they've seen. Every young person once had a dream. Another thing is, what good is an experience if you can't share it?
Amen.
We all have experiences. Are you keeping it to yourself? Take away that selfish mentality.
Amen.
We've got a new generation to lift
That's
up.
Right.
We've
right.
got a new generation to lift up.
That's
Let's
right.
call upon our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and allow him to intervene in every situation that may feel too hard for us. Allow him to intervene, guys.
Amen.
We can't do it ourselves. We've got to hold our hands up and say, God, I can't do this on my own.
Yes,
I need you in my life.
Yes, Lord.
I believe in God's Almighty Father and just what he's going to be doing in every single one of your lives here today.
Amen.
I believe you're going to walk out of this place and really be revived.
Woo.
I believe Amen. That. I believe that for sure. For sure. My story is a gift. And a gift that I intend on giving.
Amen.
Sometimes we like to keep gifts. I say we give them out.
Amen.
Father, Lord Jesus Christ, we worship your holy precious name. The Father's heart. The Father's heart is showing up for the children of Israel in Egypt.
Amen.
When they were stuck in bondage, in chains. When they were stuck, the Father's heart was what intervened. This isn't going to happen to my children. Exactly how we look at this is not going to happen to our young people today.
Amen.
Everything that we need to be operating in life is exactly how God did with us. It's almost like we shadowed God. We shadowed Christ Jesus when he was on earth. Let's build disciples.
Yes.
Let's build disciples in our church.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Let's get stuck in. Let's get involved. Let's not just be here for the word of God every Sunday.
Yes. Come on.
Let's see what we can offer to our nation, to our societies, to our communities.
Amen.
Let the Almighty God do something greater than what we've ever expected to happen before. Let's see this church build up.
Yes.
Let's see more lives be transformed.
Amen.
Let's see the young people grow up in this church, revived, energetic,
Amen.
Ready to seek God's face.
Amen.
Let's see miracles happen.
Thank you, Lord.
I remember watching The Prince of Egypt. There was that song, "There can be miracles if you believe." Wow. I'll leave it there. That's just a little taster. And let's just let God intervene in our lives. Let's open our hearts up to God.
Amen.
You know, for me, it got to the stage, of course, where God did intervene. You know, we look at the story of TLG and how it started with one young man called Lewis. Lewis was this kid, this scruffy-looking kid that was in an education centre in the city of Bradford, which is further north. And Tim Morfin, the CEO, at the time was just a youth worker. And he saw this scruffy-looking kid called Lewis sort of pushing his way through the crowd, pushing people out the way, taking what he wanted. And Tim went and met this lad, and this lad welcomed him with a punch. If it was me, I'd abduct it. He welcomed him with a punch, and Tim could have hit him back. But that's not what God has assigned us to do. And Tim, from there, decided that we need help. This is why we look to you as a local church. The churches is what builds a foundation for this world today. The church is where the heart is.
Amen.
For building up our communities. It's in the church. It starts in the church.
Amen.
Then we take it out to the nation. Everybody around us is looking to us. And that's not to put any pressure. But it's to understand that this is where God has set himself. This is where God has set the resources, the tools and resources that we need. It's
right.
All in this building.
That's right.
It's all in this building. Are we taking hold of that?
Jesus.
Please don't be those people that just come in, get a bit of word and go back out.
No.
Do you speak to each other much? You're all smiley faces. Bring that sense of warmth. I walked into this building and I got that sense of warmth.
Amen.
There's some places that I've been to and it's dark and gloomy. Let's be individuals that aspire for greater things in life. I believe God's working in here today. I believe God's working in here today. I just want to read a scripture from Hosea. And it's from Hosea, let me get it up, sorry, 11:1-4. And it says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called to him, the farther he moved from me. The farther he moved from me, the further away, basically, he moved from me, offering sacrifices to the images of Baal and burning incense to idols. I myself taught Israel how to walk, leading him along the hand. Sorry, leading him along by the hand. But he doesn't know or even care that it was I who took care of him. I led Israel along with my ropes of kindness and love. I lifted the yoke from his neck. And I myself stopped to feed him." God is almighty. We thank you, dear Father, Lord, just for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you did in the place where real detriment was taking place. In Egypt, where the children of Israel was just chained. Held in bondage, held in fear. Couldn't escape, no way out, limitations all around. Families dying, kids dying. But you took them out of the land of Egypt into the promised land. And even through all of that, the process that God was taking them through. See, the challenges of life aren't supposed to break us. They're supposed to redefine us.
Amen.
They're supposed to build us up.
Amen.
To be stronger than we ever have been before.
Yes.
Tough in the battlefield.
Yeah.
David, small young man. A small young man that God had inserted himself into became this powerful man. Still small, but powerful. And took down the big Goliath. He was, I think, about 7-foot-odd. A young man did that. But do you know what it started with? Accepting God.
Right.
Saying, "God, intervene in this situation."
Yeah.
Intervene in this situation. We all need to do the same.
Yes.
It's no good asking always, asking God, "Oh, can I have this? Can I have that?" Just ask God for himself to be within you.
Yes.
Sometimes we can be caught up with asking God for the great things of life. But it starts with you. Let God intervene in you first. Let him stir something up in your heart. The TLG program we have is we have the education centers, we have early intervention, and we have Make Lunch. I didn't tell you my final story. No, even after getting excluded from 3 different primary schools, 5 secondary schools, and 7 alternative provisions. That's 3 different primary schools, 5 secondary schools, and 7 alternative provisions. My mum had encountered TLG. She was just looking for somewhere for her son to belong in that would give him a sense of hope again. So my mum was speaking to school and said, "I've seen this place called TLG. Can my son please come to TLG? School said, "We've exhausted everywhere. We've tried this place, we've tried that place, and it hasn't worked out. So why is this going to be any different?" I see what the difference is. God was a difference.
Come on.
You see, TLG is a God's platform. So where any young person stands in God's platform, they will be transformed.
Amen.
So I walked into TLG with a bit of that kind of young mentality, oh, it's going to be the same. Walking in, expecting to walk back out, is almost like walking into the unknown. Walking into TLG, I thought, okay, I'm ready to go back out. They're probably going to kick me out. They've seen my record sheet. It was a hell of a long one. Hell of a long one. They still decided to take me on, though. Just as we do for these young people today, we still decide to take them on. Doesn't matter your past. I'm not going to let my past determine my future and where I get to next. So going into TLG, I thought to myself, I don't think I'm going to cope here. But the difference is TLG got to the root of the issue. Sometimes we have to get to the root of the issue, don't we, guys? We have to see underneath what has taken place. We need to pull it from its roots to stop it from growing again. I started to see change in me, and I didn't want to change. And sometimes I would push TLG back because I've not had care in my life before. Why are you starting to care about me? Why are you giving me your time? And TLG kept coming forward, and I was pushing away, and they kept coming forward, and I was pushing away. And I just gave up. I said, wow, these lot are really consistent. And TLG also helped me rekindle my faith with God again.
Thank you, Lord.
I started to ask certain questions. My father had left. I'm not liking what God's done in my life so far. TLG helped me build my relationship up with God again. I started to dream again. I got back into mainstream school. Got back into mainstream school in year 11, and everyone was like, Danny's back, guys. Feeding me that same type of energy that they fed me before, because Danny was this big figure in school. And they was expecting me to be the class clown and the entertainer and the daredevil that they used to call me. But I looked around and I thought, nah. Amen. You're not going to see the same Danny, unfortunately. See, TLG helped me change my perspective on life. I started to see things from a different angle. What I thought I knew, I didn't know. What I began to know, I started to take forward with me. I started opening doors for teachers that I used to close doors on. Mr. Wilson, I remember his name. Same one that got me excluded from school. He's the same teacher that got me into college.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Started to dream again. And then going from college, I studied enterprise and entrepreneurship. You know, I was really into sort of enterprising projects and community projects and, you know, very innovative, you know, coming up with various different things that would help society or help others. And I took it that step further. I went to university to study business management and accounting.
Amen.
It was at university I got baptized. I got baptized at university at a church called Breathe. The pastor just touched me and I was shaking. I said, I'm ready, God. I'm ready to take on your project again. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And then leaving, then I went to work for a property company for a little while because I was very much into properties from a young age. It's crazy because even at that young age, I'd always been ambitious, but circumstance events took place. Worked in properties for a little while, but it wasn't really giving me fulfillment. It was a Thursday, I remember it till today. Thursday, I was putting some food in the microwave and God spoke to me. What was I having? I think I had Rice Krispies in the afternoon. And I put some food in the microwave and God ministered to me and God said, Danny, I need you to go back. You see, Moses, reminds me of the Moses story, when Moses ran away from Egypt to try and find something. But God said, no, your job's not done yet. Get back. So now I'm here working with TLG, building upon the young people that we find in our education centres and early intervention today that are struggling, that are going through hardship, that are going through turmoil at home, allowing them to know that they shouldn't let their past determine their future.
Amen.
that they shouldn't be provoked, that they shouldn't ever let themselves be lost in the world, that they should have a hope and a future, because that's what they deserve, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the young people kind of speak to me and say, oh, you used to be at TLG? Goes, yeah. Went, wow. And I said, I turned out like this. And I said to them, do you know why that is? It's because it wasn't just TLG. It was a combination of TLG and God and God's element within TLG. Lots of the young people today are coming to church through that position. Lots of the young people want to encounter their faith with God. They're sparking up intriguement. Who is this God? What's he about? They're asking the question. That's what it starts with. Young people that know nothing of God. But do you know what they see? They see the light within me.
Amen.
They want a bit of that light.
Thank you, Lord.
They want a glimmer of hope. They want to represent something greater than that they're in now. They want to start to believe again. I take some of the young people to church to encounter God. You see them there looking around at first. It was the first time they were looking around, seeing people jumping up and down. They thought, oh, these people are possessed. But then fast forward 6 months later, they're jumping around. That's what God does. Early intervention allows you as a congregation, as a church, to get involved with the lives of young people. Is Ruth here? Hi, Ruth. You all right? Can you just explain to these guys about a little bit about early intervention for a brief couple of minutes? Ruth.
Ew, no. It's really good to hear. Wrong one. Put that down. Really good to hear, Danny. Thank you so much for coming. As you have all, I'm sure, had your heart stirred, so have I. And God has, just sort of reinforced why he wants us to start this project up. Many reasons. We, as you know, if you've been in the church a while, we ran Movie Mania, which was a project for communities, for the families in the community. And we had hundreds of families come in on a Saturday afternoon just for free popcorn and drinks and a movie, some crafts. And they loved it. Basically, I just met a lady in the street yesterday. She says, oh, you know, we do miss Movie Mania. But we found that we weren't able really to connect with the families other than say hello and goodbye. And with this project, TLG, what we're going to be doing is seeing a family and walking along with them. It's a step-by-step thing. And that, we believe, is God's heart for us, every person. You know, it's really an extension of what we should be doing in our own lives. If you've got families in your street that are struggling, you know, we pray that you are walking along with them and supporting them. But this is a structured way of helping some of those families in our bay, schools in particular. It's not just cities. The stories that we've heard, I teach in a primary school, and I have taught children that have to come to school having left the family situation that Danny sort of described, where abuse is going on, and they come just shell-shocked, they come angry, they come anxious, you know, in all sorts of ways. There are children that don't have breakfast in the morning because their parents their lifestyle is so chaotic. There are children who are, even in primary schools, already self-harming. So it is nationwide, and it is, you know, it's breaking God's heart, it's breaking our hearts. So this is why we're going to start early intervention. As you've heard a bit, it's about a coach, somebody, a Christian who has a heart for struggling families and a belief that God will use you as a person to transform a child's life and the family's life. And as some people, as I spoke a few weeks ago, we've already got some people who feel, yes, this is something they can do. But for those of you that weren't here or don't know anything about it, can I just sort of tell you a little bit about what, if you think this is something you could do, what you'd need to have? You'd need to be committed, because you'd need to not let this child down. And what they ask for is that one adult can meet one child for 1 hour a week for up to a year. So at least a minimum of 2 terms, but we try for a year. So it is a commitment. But for those children that we're going to be, you know, coaching and we're walking alongside, they've perhaps already faced so many letdowns and so many disappointments. You have to have that consistency. So you sort of need, good health and being ready to commit to that. You need to really have a desire to connect with the whole family. It doesn't have to be, you're not going into, you know, be a social worker or to give therapy or anything like that. You are literally a support. You are a help. And that's all we can do within the school setting and when we connect with the families. But to connect with the family, to say, I think your child is special and they are doing great things with me in an hour in school, that's such a big impact on the parents, on those that perhaps where there's lots of friction or they don't see that. You know, we are there just to give that positive input to the families as well. And TLG has got such a wealth of resources. They suggest sort of a little text weekly to the parents or carer, whoever is at home, just to support. But then they also go on and they do holidays. They do a weekend where you coach will go away with the parent and the child if the parent wants to. And that's a time where there's real connection because God is brought into that. They're able to share them, how much God loves them. And so lives are transformed, as you saw in Ruby's story in that video. If you want to see any of these more videos, the TLG website, I'm sure Danny would say it again, is fantastic. And you'll find lots of stories on there. You need to believe that, these families are God's families and that the future will be that their lives are transformed by his love. As a church, we're going to be supporting TLG financially because we see what a great project it is. As Dan has said, you know, there are many working in this area. So I don't know about many down here, actually. I don't know. We've got, various schools that have those children that are excluded. But that's about it as far as I know. But there are not, as far as I know, any Christian organisations like that. Early intervention is happening already in Torquay in two schools over there with Upton Vale. So we will be, flying the flag in Paignton. You need to be a prayer because you need to know that is a key thing. And it will be God that does the work and God that changes the heart. If you feel that, this is something that you could do, I've got information I can chat to. You can chat to Danny afterwards. But some of you have already been thinking about it. Some of you maybe have not heard about it. Don't think to yourself, well, I can't do it. But ask God, can I do it? And let him tell you. It might not be the right time for you. It might be that you can't do the actual coaching, but you could be a prayer partner, and a prayer partner will come alongside one coach and pray regularly for that child that they're coaching, for the family that they're coaching, and obviously for you, the coach. So there's various ways of supporting. If you still have any doubts that we are, as a church, meant to help families in the community, then just think about the Bible and how often it talks about... Well, we're commanded as Christians to support the widows and the orphans. Right. Who are the orphans in our society? They're the children that are struggling. Single parents, are our widows, really. We may not have the similar background that the Bible does, but we have children and parents who really need to be reached out to with love. So that's what we're hoping some of you may feel you can do in whatever way, the praying, the giving, the coaching. But do come and see me. Any more questions?
Amazing. And, the mate lunch that we do is for, the young kids that don't not often get meals in the summer holidays. It's just a chance for basically the church to host a sort of section for families to come in and get fed, basically. There's a lot of young people that just don't have the chance to have food in holidays or on free school meals as well. So this is something that's crucial for us. Even some of us, we have so many tin cans in the cupboards. I know tin can beans and stuff like that in our cupboards that we don't often use. And then a year later, I know I found a year later that I'd left some bean cans after a year, right? That's a long time. So that's a complete waste. But if we can offer this sort of support for our young people and also for the families, because I just don't want this to be about young people, but also the families, this is what we're helping with. And we just want families to have a secure and comfortable environment to be able to work and love their kids in. So thank you so much for that. Last but not least, we're going to watch a video. It's Shauna's story. It's a powerful story as well. But I just want you to look into this video and just see the sort of work that us at TLG are doing in the lives of our young people. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tim Morfin, founder and chief executive of National Children's Charity TLG. Thank you so much for choosing to focus on the needs of struggling children. Do you know, today your church is joining with hundreds of other churches, declaring that God's love knows no bounds. For children like Shauna, who really needed to know God's love expressed through the practical help of a local church. Let's take a look at her story now.
When I was 11, on the week that I was supposed to leave primary school, my dad died suddenly. We had like a little dispute. I slammed the kitchen door and went upstairs and went to sleep. And then when I woke up next morning, he was just gone. And it just made me feel very guilty and like it was my fault. I just was getting in fights and stuff because I just had so much anger that this had happened to me, and it just made me proper mad. I needed some sort of like counselling or some, you know, just some sort of one-to-one support. When I got excluded, I just felt pretty much worthless. More than anything, just sat at home doing nothing. It's just wasting your life, isn't it? TLG felt very different from mainstream.
Hi, Shauna. Do you want to come
there
in?
There were people there that I could confide in, no matter when it was, what it were about. I could always confide in the people. Rendell was a very brilliant teacher. I managed to get some qualifications so that I could get onto college to obviously progress for what I want to do in the future. I want to be a bereavement support worker so that I can give some sort of support back to other people who are struggling, just because I know how awful it feels to be on your own, and I just want to give something back to just let them people feel better and released and supported. When I went to Faith Residential, it was like the week on forgiveness. It just made me realise that it wasn't my fault and you can't change what's happened. TLG changed me because I were able to open and speak about what I was feeling, what my anger were about, and I addressed all my issues. And after hours and hours and hours of talking and speaking and one-to-ones and kick-offs and everything, after time it just started to get a lot better. Like, my mental health started to get better, and I didn't have all that anger anymore because I'd expressed it in a different way, and it's just really life-changing. I hate now to think where I would be if it weren't for TLG, because TLG didn't just support me, they supported my family. It was just like they just glued us all back together, and it was just absolutely fantastic.
It's not okay that children facing such tough circumstances like Shauna's are left to struggle. And you know,
powerful story by Shauna. We're committed to the work of God in what we do, both in partnership with churches like yourselves and also in and across the country, the various different organisations. We at TLG believe in young people, and we believe in transforming lives for good. If it was my option, I'd call it TLGG, Transforming Lives for Greater Good. But if I can ask you to take one thing away from today, it's to really look into what God has called you to do. Whether that's working with young people, working with families, working with the church, if I can advise you one thing, it's to take hold of that and let God really manifest within what he's called you to do, and allow yourselves as well to work with real efficiency in that particular area of operation. Glory be to God. Amen. If you've got one of these forms under your chairs, could all grab one of those forms. On the first section of the form, and just to let you know, part of our vision is by 2025, it's to see 10,000 young children each year be in a great position through the work of TLG.
Amen.
Highly ambitious,
Amen.
But I believe God's in it.
That's right. That's good.
And all that happens is by the support of churches across our nation. We can't do this without the church. We can't do this without you guys. So if you can help just be a part of what we do and just support in any particular way that you can and journey with us, because we also are looking for your guidance as well. I believe in God and I believe in what God has called us for. Let's take hold of that. In the first section of this, it shows the Keep in Touch page, which is just about kind of if you fill in that section just to keep in regular contact with you, let you know about what's going on within TLG. You also get magazines as well to keep updated with the stories of transformation with our young people. That would be great. In the second section, basically, the first section also you will receive, we've got some of our Transforming Lives for Good books done by Tim Morfin, the CEO. And it's just about the journey of TLG. I think it's got a photo of me from young age where I've got an afro and everything else. Not the best photo, but oh well. We'll give you one of those free books once you've filled in that section. In the second section, it's about becoming a hope giver. Can you as a church help us support young people financially? Can you as a church be able to kind of help out in any way you can? Doesn't matter the cost, doesn't matter how much you give. We just want to see you support our young people as best you can. Journey with us through the sort of traumas, the adversity that these young people go through. Can I ask you to become a hope giver? We see so many stories of transformation that takes place in the lives of young people within TLG. And we don't take that lightly, because we know God is at work. And the transformation only comes from God alone.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm speaking based upon TLG this morning, but I'm ultimately speaking on God.
Amen.
And the work of God in the lives of us, yes. And the lives of every single one of you here today. Join us, be a part of our vision, be a part of our journey. And if you want to keep in contact and stay in contact, it'd be great. We've also got some opportunities, volunteering roles, and for some of you as well that want to get involved in sort of any type of work around young people, whether it's the early intervention, whether it's make lunch, or whether it's something beyond that, we're also willing to facilitate you in that sense. Thank you very much for your time, and yeah, hand it over now. But before I do, I just want to, if we can all just pray, because I believe it's always great when you close in prayer, especially on this journey. Dear Father, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for deliverance, Father, Lord. Thank you that the chains have been broken. Thank you for the journey that you have taken us through and the journey that each individual in this church has had in their lives as well. We thank you that they are gathered here today, this Sunday morning, a beautiful day. And I just want to thank you, Lord, because we know that you are about to do some great work in our lives, every single one of us and in our young people. We pray that our young people are built up to be the next generation of God-sent soldiers, warriors, ready to take on whatever that life throws at them. We thank you for the parents that are still in support of their young people. We pray for parents too that may have distanced themselves with their young people, that they rekindle that relationship, Father Lord. All things are possible through Christ that strengthens us. We thank you so much for all that you do, Father Lord. Amen. Just want to close with that song, right?